All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, October 25th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a chilly 41 degrees and overcast here in upstate New York. We actually had lots and lots of rain and some hail last night. I was listening to it pound on everything, and we're actually supposed to get a little bit of snow, but at least we didn't. It's coming. It's coming. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show AI DDoS, Distributed Denial of Service, The Internet of Things, and DARPA's Morphing Cyber Grand Challenge Software. We kind of outlined how the distributed denial of service attack that occurred on Friday that took down parts of the internet, as we have hackers hiding under every bed, was a very old type of vulnerability that has existed for as long as, I don't know, the internet's been around and hackers have been around figuring it out. They would mount an attack by using some sort of bot that got covertly placed onto your machine one way or another, whether through a vulnerability or an infection when you went to a website. And then those bots would be set with a time bomb. And who even knows now? Maybe they even have like remote controlled where they push a button and all of a sudden they all turn on. But back in those days, they would hard code program the little application to all come alive at the same time. And they would go out your internet connection and target an IP address of some website out there, flood it with traffic so no one could connect, and bing, you've taken down a website. Well, what they did on Friday was not only did they use computers, but they used all these connected devices, all of our Internet of Things devices that, of course, DARPA has said are so insecure that it's going to be a danger to us. They infected these devices as well as our computers. And then when they launched a zombie attack on the internet, they didn't go after one website. No, they went after one of the main servers that does the translation for the internet naming system. And I'm assuming that this one was in Maryland, and it took out a big part of the East Coast, so I'm assuming that that was a DNS server, a dynamic naming server for servers on the East Coast. I don't really know how they work. I know they're all over the world. But my question is, I mean, there are ways. There's a product out there called Cloudflare. I'd mentioned it yesterday. I just couldn't remember the name. But Cloudflare allows you to mask your IP address so you can't easily be attacked. And they give you dynamic addresses, so they change all the time. So someone can't just aim something at you and sit there for 2 weeks and keep your website down with bots attacking you. Cloudflare will keep changing your addresses, so you will be able to hide from the attackers. So, you know, while this is all going on, we have, of course, Bill Clinton calling for a Google Truth algorithm, which, of course, happened last week right before the third debate. And we also had I lost my train of thought here because I was looking for a story. We also had Obama come out and give a speech to a bunch of people. Hold on 1 second. I have a stupid cat who's wrapped up in my cable and just about ripped it out of the computer. Anyway, Obama gave a speech and talked about how great AI is. He's going to roll it all out. He gave his blueprint. And we're about ready to get a full-on all-frontal as AI is rolling out every which way. Now, I have so many tabs open here today that I'm not sure if we're going to be able to accomplish this, but I'm going to try to get through a lot of the stuff that I have here. So I found a new story yesterday, though, that gives a little more information. This is from October 19th. AI experts now weigh in on the White House approach to artificial intelligence. So this is, he gave his speech and he gave his blueprints. And experts now are really kind of considering what he said, what he's done. We looked at Watson. We looked at Charlie Rose being the gatekeeper of information and doing a big expose in the beginning of October on Watson and Sophia. Oh, I got a big issue here. Hold on. I'm having a massive crash. All my windows are flashing. Well, the show might be over quick. I don't know. All right. Well, maybe I can read this one story. Holy shit. I'll have to sing. It's already 2 for 2. We're only 8 minutes into the show. I'll have to sing. All right. AI experts weigh in on the White House approach to artificial intelligence. Last week, Obama began a national conversation around AI. Pound, kill all robots. Experts are impressed. Really? Somebody on my Twitter feed liked this story, but I wasn't sure which side he was on. I get all these Twitter followers now from all these organizations, and I was like, wow, look at it. I think there was one from Stanford even. And I'm wondering, though, if they're agreeing with my anti-stance or if they're like, yeah, cool, she posts all this crazy stuff about technology, and they're all for it. But anyway, hey, experts are impressed, but reinforce the need for clarity around safety when it comes to artificial intelligence. What, you mean like killer robots? Autonomous killer robots? Autonomous software that can learn and reason and cloud build databases of knowledge? A software that can morph like the Cyber Grand Challenge? Be the beginnings of Skynet? Like we saw yesterday, Elon Musk had come out and warned again. Good old Elon. Like I said, love him or hate him. I don't know if I could trust him. But Elon has come out quite a number of times and raised the flag in regards to what we are attempting to do. He thought, what did he call it the one time? That we are getting ready to expel the demons or something, or raise the demons. And I would tend to agree with that. You know, these aren't necessarily going to be benevolent. And there is a lot of concern with a lot of this technology that they're just running forward ahead, all in the name of discoveries. But they're not putting in any brakes. We saw not too long ago Google and Facebook and all these other big organizations, oh, they all have this big consortium now that's going to protect us against the future coming of the machines. They're going to come up with kill switches, whatever. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. All right, let's see if we can get back to the story. So experts weigh in Obama's launch of AI to take over the world. At last week's White House Frontiers Conference, Obama outlined a vision for the development of AI, a plan that involves the collaboration of the U.S. government. Now, all right, that's going to make it all better. So not only do we have killer robots and self-thinking, reasoning, swarming, artificially intelligent applications, but now we have the plan by Obama, and that plan is it will involve the collaboration of the U.S. government. I mean, that just makes it all better, doesn't it? Now, the event co-hosted by the University of Pittsburgh. University of Pittsburgh is the one that's going to try to CRISPR the first human. And where? Oh, Carnegie Mellon University. Actually, University of Pittsburgh, I don't know, it was Penn U. So is that the same one? It's University in Pennsylvania, regardless. Lizard Pitt was the first of its kind. First time ever a president hosted an event like this. And earlier that week, the White House had unveiled a report called Preparing for the Future of Artificial Intelligence. And, you know, that's so generic and written in such a way that all it makes me think of is that Twilight Zone where they gave us the book called How to Serve Man. You know, because that's about what it is, preparing for the future of artificial intelligence, which outlines how the governments can be involved in researching, developing, and regulating future technologies. Yeah, I mean, just take a look at Atlas and the relationship between Boston Dynamics and DARPA, and now Boston Dynamics and Google, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So how well does the American president understand AI, and how powerful will these policies be? Well, Tech Republic spoke to several AI experts to see what they think. And while each of these five experts agree that this is a big step in the wrong, but they said right direction, and welcome the president's attention to supporting research in AI, there are a few key areas they want to address. So what is that? Well, number one, the robots are coming to take all the jobs. Yeah, that one. As we have factories in South Korea mass producing robots that are putting tons of people out of work in countries such as China. PicMine had a video about that very thing the other day, and they even mentioned that Foxconn, which is the company that makes components for Apple iPhones as well as other products, and they just displaced 60,000 workers with these industrial robots. This is coming everywhere. They are going to be doing this. There was somewhere, I don't know, these tabs look like they stabilized. Maybe we can find one of those stories that I had. I mean, it's insane. They are really saying that this is going to take us out. There will be no jobs. And, of course, universal basic income will be the answer, right? Not. So, anyway, jobs replaced by AI. Quote, I am not as optimistic as Obama that as many jobs will be created as will be destroyed by the technology, says Toby Walsh, professor of AI at the University of New South Wales. Just because this was true in the past does not mean that it is necessarily true in the future. There is no fundamental law of economics that requires this. Susan Schneider, associate professor of philosophy at the University of Connecticut, emphasized the need for a national conversation on unemployment caused by lost jobs, given that AI is projected to outmode so many people in the workplace, she says. It is time for a national dialogue on universal basic income. I mean, guys, this, I'm telling you, this is going to be really bad. You know, they set up a committee, some sort of talk group in Washington back in March or May, saying, yeah, it's going to take all the jobs and we need to make sure people understand this. But you know what, guys? We've been looking now over the last week or so at what kinds of jobs these are going to replace. And it's not just going to be your fast food workers or your hospital janitors or whatever. I mean, with Watson, we saw that an entire boardroom full of seasoned oncologists were out tasked 30% of the time, where Watson found additional treatments that were never even thought of based upon his ability to read a million pages a second or something, or a million books a second. It was absolutely incredible. You know, this shape-shifting DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge software is going to put all your security professionals as well as your IT or network administrators out of jobs. Or at least a big portion of their job will be done by a piece of software. We've seen lawyers. I just saw there was some new legal position, something about human rights cases or something that they've set AI on. Guys, it is going to be pushed out throughout everything that we do. They are going to roll this out into our daily life. We won't even need to think anymore. Those puny human brains will get to turn to a gelatinous mass because they don't need to be exercised anymore. And you know what? With this Google Truth algorithm, and guess what? Google's search engine was handed over to the Artificial Intelligence Division the beginning of this year. So even our Google searches and the news that we're fed is being combed by AI. But now we have the AI and the truth algorithm that's going to compare facts on your website to the agreed upon truths, quote unquote, by Google. It's going to make us obsolete. We had a show called that last week, Obsoleting Humans. And, you know, obsolete man is what it's going to come to. And little Johnny, I hate to tell you, but they're already working on modifying humans. They're tinkering with it in China. They're tinkering with it here, at least in a petri dish, as well as in the UK. And if they find where they could flip that little switch to give you superhuman thinking powers, you know, it's going to be for a price. And you can either get it or not get it. But if you don't get it, well, Johnny, you can't compete. You're going to be in that lower caste of society, that unconnected caste that gets to live in the dumpsters and not participate. We will use you for entertainment. It will be Running Man. I mean, I can just see so many horrifying futures coming from this. And we thought the has and the have-nots, with just whether or not you had internet, is how they kind of pushed it. That's why we're going for Africa and all the rural regions, because it's that internet that makes you not able to participate. But once you start participating, there's no getting off this bus, because they're going to come for you. And either you step up and merge with the machine, or you are now an outcast. All right, number two. Another area that concerns researchers is artificial general intelligence. One area that a few of the experts agreed needed clarification was artificial general intelligence, or AGI for short. This should be distinguished from narrow AI, which is what is involved when computers can be programmed to master a specific skill. In Wired magazine, Obama wrote, "If you got a computer that can play Go, a pretty complicated game with all kinds of variations, and then developed an algorithm that lets you maximize profits on the New York Stock Exchange, that's probably within sight." "I do not think this is all true," says Vince Kozinier, professor of computer science at Duke University. Go is a game with very clearly defined rules that does not require general knowledge around the world. He said, "In contrast, in the financial markets, there will always be a need for broad and integrated understanding of how the world works, and this is very, very hard to replicate in AI systems." Schneider calls Obama's comments about AGI a bit disappointing, which says to me that he doesn't understand any of this. The man doesn't have a clue, but surprise, it doesn't seem that he has a clue about the potentials of any of these technologies that he's rolling out. We talked yesterday, you know, he's launched the Brain Initiative, precision medicine, data security, AI, the high performance big data computing, the space patrol now. I mean, just keep going on, dude. Keep launching the hounds. Eventually something will stick. And once all these tempests are out there going wild, we got CRISPR too. Don't forget, CRISPR's come up in the news a few times. DARPA is now going to try to come up with a way to prevent our genes from being edited accidentally. Maybe we'll get there. Probably not today. Maybe next, the end of this week, maybe. But anyway, and while AI is currently used in activities such as financial trading, Kotzner said that we still need humans. Well, yeah, phew, Wall Street won't be outmoded. Though, you know what? I hate to say it. I hope they are. I hope Wall Street's one of the first to go. This is a good example of a very common fallacy in thinking about AI systems, he says, where we are overly impressed by a system's performance on a narrow, cleanly defined problem. and then incorrectly conclude that similar performance in open-ended, ambiguous, real-world domains is just a short step away. But again, you know, we read this and we have experts come out and go, no, this isn't happening. But we see things like Watson. In 5 years, Watson went from just learning to read to now diagnosing cancer, learning about genomes, and interpreting body scans. He's a pretty smart cookie. It was in 5 short years. So I still say bullshit to all this. You know, you got cloud learning now where one can learn for a million. And those million are all going to learn and share what they learned. I mean, exponential on steroids. All right, the next one is AI safety. Well, clarification. Why is clarification around artificial general intelligence important? Well, it has critical ramifications when it comes to safety. And it's the one thing the president doesn't apparently understand. President Obama's plan to wait for benchmarks around AGI before taking action falls short, says Schneider. Obama jokes that we can just, quote, pull the plug on super intelligent AI. Oh my God, the man is a freaking moron. And of course, all those working on AI safety have warned a truly advanced AI will be able to anticipate such moves. And by the time we detect such benchmarks, it may be too late, says Schneider. Kotzner talked about two camps approaching the future of AI, one that worries about the existential risk, such as Nick Bostrom, Elon Musk, and Bill Gates. Well, like I said, Bill Gates only showed up squawking about that because he didn't want to look so evil, but Microsoft is in the middle of developing a lot of their deep learning platform as well, so I'm sure Bill Gates isn't all that worried about it. You know, Elon Musk is working on his self-driving cars, and I'm not really quite sure what Nick Bostrom's doing right now. We also had Stephen Hawking. We're going to talk about Stephen Hawking because I think Stephen Hawking just sold us out, guys. I saw this story just before bed last night. We'll hit that after this. But Stephen Hawking just opened his own artificial intelligence center to start helping accelerate this progress. Anyway, the traditional AI research community worries about the existential risk, and that Obama said, quote, he dismisses the idea that we need to worry about human-level general AI at this point. So Obama doesn't think it's a big concern. Just keep going forward. We're going to give you all this money that we don't have. You could develop the killer robots, you know, all in the name of keeping us safe, but hey, a lot of it's being used for the military. You're going to look at that as well. But Obama doesn't seem to worry about it turning on us or getting too smart. And we don't need to put any brakes on right now. We just pulled the plug. Well, doesn't look like that's going to be the case. It appears that the report and the president are generally more on the latter side, which is not thinking it's time to worry. But Costner says that this is problematic. And if we are to believe the study cited in his report, in which half of AI researchers say that there is a 50% chance of achieving artificial general intelligence by 2040. Holy cow, says Kotzner. I am not among that half, but I do think that if you can really believe that that survey accurately captures the best prediction that we can make about the future of AI, then the response of just quote-unquote monitoring their progress seems wholly inadequate. Obama's just such a scary dude. He doesn't think. He just does what he's told. They're telling him to roll it out, and he just says stupid shit that he doesn't understand and spins it. But you know what? Don't worry, because government intervention will be the cure. Says you need to argue that the survey did not do a good job in generating good predictions, and that you better have a prediction, or you need to respond in a significant way. And one way would be funding research to keep AI systems safe, or understanding the consequences and the significance of human-level general AI. I am worried that instead of addressing these questions head-on, many people just avoid it. because they don't want to seem as loopy. They don't want to seem as loopy crackpot futurists, which is not a good reason. And I'm going to tell you, I am not a loopy crackpot futurist, if he's referring to me, which I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he's referring to Kurzweil. He is a loopy crackpot futurist. But I'm going to tell you what, Kurzweil has been the one that's been ready to merge with the machine. I'm a loopy crackpot futurist who's telling you to put on the brakes. And Kurzweil and me have not been wrong in our predictions. I don't know. I mean, it seems every other day we cover something, and not 2 weeks from now we're going to see a story on it saying the same stuff that we just did, making our world a glitterist or crackpots, if you can really see down that timeline. And the fact that we don't have a way to turn this stuff off and we're not even worried about safety right now is a big problem. And I will second the opinion of this AI professor. Kotzner says that making, quote, future superhuman general AI system safe is a very different type of problem from making today's self-driving cars safe, and that it is, quote, not responsible to just avoid making a judgment on whether superhuman general intelligence is somewhat likely to emerge in a few decades or not. The next concern is government intervention. Walsh agrees with President Obama that the government shouldn't overregulate. Still, he is disappointed that he is not advocating more oversight from the U.S. government in two areas where regulation is already too late, and that is in autonomous cars and what? Oh, autonomous weapons. You know, we got Israel out there making UAV drones, too. Well, maybe we'll look at that. You know, here's the thing. I don't think it should be the government regulating anything, but I think we should have a very large body of pro and con scientists and engineers out there who are setting the standards that anybody working on this technology needs to follow. And before anything is released, it needs to have some sort of ultimate kill switch in it that can be the big red button if something goes wrong. I don't think they have that anywhere for any of these technologies right now, and every single one of these are disruptive. Tesla cannot be left to experiment in the public, on the public, he says. Yeah, well, the CRISPR can. And we need to curb, and they're talking about Elon Musk's Tesla car, and we need to curb the arms race that is starting to occur in the development of autonomous weapons that will undoubtedly destabilize global security. And if Obama wanted one act to do before he finished his lame duck as president, he could make a bold move here that would be remembered for centuries, and that would be have the U.S. support banning lethal autonomous weapons at the CCW conference in the UN this December. Be the president that ends killer robots. Well, there you go. No, killer robots. Overall, the experts were excited about Obama's embracing of AI research. We cannot leave it up to the large tech companies, says Walsh. Well, that's who the government merged with, the large tech companies. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. Six of one, half dozen of the other. It's all going to be the same people using the same technologies. Better algorithms to rank ads are not going to get us thinking machines, greater prosperity, or reduced inequality. No, but companies like Google, who buy 7 robotics firms in 1 year, just might, and then go work with the DOD and DARPA. Marie Desjardins, an AI professor at the University of Maryland and former chair of the AAAI, which is the Association for the Advancement of Artificial Intelligence, said that she was excited about the plans, although, quote, as always, one hopes it's going to be a sustained interest in the big hard problems, not just temporary hype. Walsh echoed the point. I would, of course, be even happier if he had backed this by putting actual dollars on the table for basic research. The president's main job is to, quote, not cause any panic, says Roman Yampolsky, director of the Cybersecurity Lab at the University of Louisville. And Obama does that well. Yeah, he's smiling. that very sly smile, believe me. And on the backside, he is helping build the demise of Human 1.0. And if the president is anywhere near able to learn, digest, and synthesize such complex material, says Kotzner, then I think we are in luck. Well, I'm going to tell you, Obama doesn't even have half a clue. Like I asked in the very beginning, when we found out that they launched some sort of artificial intelligence roadmap, that what makes Obama qualified to be even making any judgment on that? As I read a little bit more into it, it looks like there is a technology board that is aiding in the preparation of this, but still, they should be involving all of the leaders, all of the universities, and then putting the kill switch not in the hands of tech companies, no, in some sort of, and I mean, I don't even trust a nonpartisan board, but at least get people like me on there, people who see the dangers, as well as lunatics like, you know, Georgie Church and the world of CRISPR. But at least so there is a checks and balance and something gets put on paper and there are arguments that maybe get leaked, you know, into the public realm. But right now, this is happening all under the covers of non-disclosure agreements and military autonomization, you know, that might get sprinkled out then into the Internet of Everything. And of course, it's all going to be to keep you safe. And this isn't going to be good. This is all going to be military and surveillance at some point. All right, good old Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking that's warned about so many things. That Stephen Hawking has just opened, and this again was the same day, October 19th, has opened a British artificial intelligence hub. Professor Stephen Hawking on Wednesday opened a new artificial intelligence research center in Britain's Cambridge University. The Leverhulme Center for the Future of Intelligence will delve into AI applications ranging from increasingly, quote, smart, unquote, smartphones to robot surgeons and Terminator-style military droids. Funded by a $10 million grant from Leverhulme Trust, the center's aim is to ensure AI is used to benefit humanity. Well, I'm sure the Terminator-style droids will be to benefit all of us. Opening the new center, Hawking said that it is not possible to predict what might be achieved with AI. Perhaps the tools of this new technological revolution will be able to undo some of the damage done to the natural world by the last one called industrialization. You know, and that's one thing that has come up multiple times. We saw that in the DARPA story from Motherboard magazine talking about synthetic biology and being able to use synthetic biology to, oh, I don't know, terraform Mars. But before we do that, we're going to practice on Earth first. And we are going to clean up some of those uninhabitable regions by releasing this bacteria that has been crafted and forged in some crazy scientist's image to go eat up the oil or eat up the toxin and the poison. And then just hope that the genie doesn't get out of the bottle or that bacteria that we didn't understand a lot about turns into a super bacteria. No, don't worry. We'll just test it here first. And we'll do it in the name of making the world safer. Well, now they're talking about doing the same thing with artificial intelligence and robots. Let's read this again. Perhaps one of the tools of this new technological revolution will be that we can undo some of the damage that's been done to the natural world by the last one, industrialization. And surely we will finally eradicate disease and poverty. Sounds like he's talking about CRISPR. Every aspect of our lives will be transformed. Well, you know, Hawking would know. Let's just start feeding all of our DNA profiles into the machine. And then we'll get your prescription of where your gene changes need to be. And here, just eat this banana, Johnny. It'll have your new genetically modified organisms within it, some little DNA nanobot to go in and fix you up, all with its own artificial intelligence. I mean, what a scary, horrible future this is. In short, every aspect of our lives will be transformed. I told you, this is going to be turning our world upside down and shaking it to make every bit of change come out of the pocket. We won't recognize the world we have here in, I would say, even the next 10 years. In short, the success in creating AI could be the biggest event ever in the history of our civilization, says Hawking. Yeah, how lovely. The center is a collaboration. I think that's going to become my new career, is hunting down. I'm going to be a bounty hunter. Once they start launching these things, and we got drones, UAV drones flying in the sky, delivering packages and spying on you the whole way. Remember, I don't remember what happened with that court case, whether or not it's legal to shoot drones out of the sky. But we better come up with something, whether it be your microwave EMP weapon or whatever. Guys, this is not a world that I want to live in, and I'm not going to Mars. I think they should take all this shit to Mars and go mess with it up there. Do whatever you want. Knock yourselves out. Just stay away from me and my planet Earth. This new center that Hawking has opened is a collaboration between who? Oh, lots of lizard pits. Oxford University, which of course is where Oxitec came from and spun out to their own private company, genetically modifying mosquitoes and finding ways to break reproduction. Cambridge University, the Imperial College London, as well as where Jennifer Doudna is, Berkeley, California. And it will bring together researchers from multiple disciplines to work with the industry representatives and policymakers on projects ranging from regulation of autonomous weapons to the implications of AI for democracy. Oh, you know, they've been talking about having AI rulers as well. It's the overlords. They're going to come. AI is hugely exciting. Its practical applications can help us tackle important social problems, as well as easing many tasks in everyday life. The technology has led to major advances in the sciences of mind and life. Yes, because a part of all of this is the Brain Initiative. That brain project is about understanding how to recreate a human brain and how the human brain works so they could develop an artificial one. And once they crack all the mysteries of the wonders of that gray matter in our head, you know, they're going to, just like Watson, they put Watson on the bus that day. He went and played on Jeopardy. And when Watson got off the bus, you couldn't tell Watson what to do anymore. And I think that's what's going to happen here. This technology has led to major advances in sciences of mind and life. But misused also presents grave dangers. Hawking's new artificial intelligence center aims to preempt these dangers by guiding AI development in human-friendly ways. Oh, yeah. Fears of robots freeing themselves from their creators have inspired a host of films and literatures. But Hawking warned technological developments also pose a great risk to our civilization. Alongside the benefits, AI will also bring dangers like powerful autonomous weapons or new ways for the few to oppress the many. Ding, ding, ding. It will also bring disruption to our economy. And in the future, AI could develop a will of its own, a will that is in conflict with ours, he said. But catastrophic scenarios aside, yeah, don't worry about those. The development of AI, which will allow robots to execute almost all human tasks, directly threatens millions of jobs. Yeah, will allow robots to execute almost all human tasks. Freedom or destruction? I call for destruction. So will AI, which has already conquered man in the game of chess and Go, ultimately leave humans on the sidelines? Well, we don't need to see AI as replacing us. But we can see it is enhancing us. Ray Kurzweil, get your little implant. And we'll be able to make better decisions. This is called augmentation on the basis of better evidence and better insights. AI will help us learn about ourselves and about our environment, and could, if managed well, be liberating. With this in mind, ethics will be the one key field of research at Hawking's new center. It is about how to ensure that intelligent artificial systems have goals aligned with human values and to ensure computers don't evolve spontaneously. Ding. Which they already saw that robots created their own evolution, where mommy robot developed a baby robot and added all of her best traits and got rid of the ones that didn't help. And they created a new baby robot to be better than the original. We want to ensure the computers don't evolve spontaneously in, quote, new unwelcome directions, unquote. But before we delegate decisions in important areas, we need to be very sure that the intelligence systems to which we are delegating are sufficiently trustworthy. And the opening of research centers comes at a time when major international groups have competing ambitions in AI. And don't forget China, guys. You know, China is all over this stuff. And I just saw a story the other day that China has now outpaced us in development of AI. And I have that sucker right here. I just found it. Let's see if we can get it to open. It's out of the Washington Post from October 13th, 2016. This is where you got to worry. China has now eclipsed us in AI research. Remember, they were working with Beidou, and the guy at Beidou had actually come from Google. Again, those slimy tentacles just slide everywhere. Humanity is still years, if not decades away, yeah, don't worry about it, from producing sentient artificial intelligence. But with the rise of machine learning services and our smartphones and other devices, one type of narrow specialized AI has become all the rage, and the research on this branch of AI is only accelerating. In fact, as more industries and policymakers awaken to the benefits of machine learning, two countries appear to be pulling away in the research race. And this these results will probably have significant implications for the future of AI. If you are not familiar with the term, and actually let's just take a look, because I'm kind of China. They're in the lead. The U.S. is number two. And then you have all these other ones that are quite a bit behind us, but we have England, Australia, Canada, Japan, Germany, Singapore, South Korea, and France. South Korea being way down there, I don't think that's the right place for them to be. South Korea just replaced 60,000 jobs with their robots in China. If you are not familiar with the term deep learning, it is a subset of the overall branch of AI known as machine learning, which basically involves the use of algorithms to perform pattern recognition and analysis. This type of AI powers personal digital assistants such as Google Now. And the chart above was published Wednesday by the Obama administration as part of a new strategic plan, ding ding, aimed at spurring U.S. development of artificial intelligence. But what is striking about this chart is that although the United States was an early leader on deep learning research, China has effectively eclipsed us in terms of the number of papers published annually on the subject. And the rate of increase is remarkably steep, reflecting how quickly China's research priorities have shifted. Quality of China's research is also striking. The chart below narrows the research to include only those papers that were cited at least once by other researchers, and indicating an indication that the papers were influential in the field. And compared to other countries, the United States and China are spending tremendous research attention on deep learning. But according to the White House, the United States is not investing nearly enough in just basic research, and current levels of R&D are half to one quarter of the R&D investment that would produce the optimal level of growth. So I guess we're being outspent. The government is pushing for a major role for itself in AI research, but here's why. Becoming a leader in artificial intelligence research and development puts the United States in a better position to establish global norms on how AI should be used safely. Yeah, by a president who doesn't even understand it properly. According to the experts, when AI stands to transform virtually everything, including labor, the environment, the future of warfare, and cyber conflict, yes, remember DARPA's Cyber Grand Challenge, the United States could be put at a disadvantage if other countries such as China get to dictate those terms instead. So IEEE comes out with a story again. It all seemed to be last week. This was on the 19th, the 18th, sorry, one day before these other stories. What AI experts say smart machines will do to human jobs. For centuries, technological innovation has created jobs and improved the standards of living, and artificial intelligence might change that. For starters, AI-driven automation is not going to treat workers equally. A recent White House paper called Preparing for the Future of Artificial Intelligence, or subtitled by Jewel, To Serve Man, acknowledges that AI could make low and medium skilled jobs completely unnecessary and widen the gap between lower and higher educated workers. And I'm also going to say, I mean, we've looked at enough stories, it's also going to put a lot of highly educated workers, professional workers and professional organizations, white-collar workers out of jobs as well. The good news is, though, the policymakers and technology experts are thinking about this and instituting plans aimed to avoid the, quote, robots are going to take all of our jobs, unquote, doomsday scenario. Academics and industry practitioners discussed the AI jobs impact at that White House Frontiers Conference last week, sponsored by the University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon University, and they were confident and optimistic about our ability to adapt. The best solutions are going to come from minds and machines working together, says Andrew McAfee, co-director of MIT's Initiative on the Digital Economy and author of The Second Machine Age. But that balance of minds and machines won't always be the same. Just in 5 years, that balance will be totally different in, let's say, customer service and driving. And the good news is that the U.S. economy is really good at creating new jobs once the old ones get automated. You hear this? Like, what different total points of view on this? This is just stroking it all, saying, yeah, it's going to be good. We just read a couple that were like, well, I don't know. And you really don't have a good understanding. I mean, what? So get this. They talk about us Luddites out there. Every age has caused massive transformation, says Guldurf Bandavar, VP of Cognitive Computing at IBM. Some jobs get redefined, some may be obsolete, and new ones are created. But the AI-fueled revolution will do the same thing by augmenting the intelligence and the skills of humans. I told you, augmentation. Step right up and get your implant. So the onus is now on policymakers, technologists, educators, and all of us. We could go the way of the Luddites, like me, and fear the rise of the machines, or we could prepare ourselves for new ways to do our jobs. People have to learn from the get-go that reasoning and learning machines are going to be a part of their career and their lives, says Bandavar. Get used to it, because Watson is coming. They have to learn in every profession that this is how we are going to do our jobs. Do you like that we have a corporation? Corporation that helped the Nazis dictating our future to us, because I know I don't. We need to rethink, says Bandavar, our social, educational, and economic implications, and we are in the process of figuring that out right now. The transformation is happening, and that means training the current workforce to use technology like machine learning and data analytics, says Jeanette Wing, VP at Microsoft Research. And don't forget, Microsoft will also have their own deep learning project. They've been working on that for a while now. It is going to be more than, quote, what should a typical computer science undergraduate learn? She says it's now going to be other fields that will have to figure out what they should be teaching their students and whether they're graduating with a business degree or a history degree. That's the challenge for universities to grapple with right now. You know, there's tons of stuff, too, with the STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. They're really pushing the robotics for the kids. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've already gotten my kid into starting to learn Scratch, which is that programming language they have for kids. And Paul and my daughter have messed around building little robots. They have some of those Lego robots. And I just found a new project the other day on using one of those Raspberry Pis to develop your own little robot. So that's a little project they're going to work on as well. I mean, you need to understand what's coming, but don't get sucked into the machine. You need to understand how the stuff works, how it all connects. I mean, this is something that we've all been learning on the fly, but these kids are going to be tasked with needing to understand not only what the machine is, but potentially what the vulnerabilities of the machine are if it ever becomes necessary. So here's a story out of Wall Street Daily. This one was from a couple of weeks back. Looks like already over 3 weeks ago. September 30th, 2016. It's been sitting on my desktop for a while to go over. Will we be ready when the robots attack? Robotics is an increasingly sophisticated discipline. But for the sake of humanity and their potential profits, some major names in innovation are doing their best to prevent AI from totally dominating us. Have no fear when the robots make their move against humanity. Companies like Amazon, Google, Facebook, IBM, and Microsoft will all have our backs. Now, does that make you feel warm and fuzzy? Because I know that doesn't to me. We're going to depend upon Amazon, Google, Facebook, IBM, and Microsoft to have our backs against AI. Well, that's what the tech behemoths would have us believe. And as Will Knight notes for MIT Technology Review, quote, that such fierce rivals come together, and we talked about that, there was that big partnership we read about the other day, that such fierce rivals would come together in this way shows how important the companies feel it is to head off public concern and speculation over the potential impacts of AI. Yeah, or it means a monopoly on the technology that they are all in the process of developing to make certain that there is no way out of the bag once it is released. I can't help but think, this is the author of the story, but I kind of agree with it. I can't help but think of the impact that a united Hitler and Stalin, just before Germany and the Soviet Union engaged in the deadliest one-on-one conflict in human history, had. But look, none of the Bezoses or the Sergey Brins or the Zuckerbergs or any of the other mucky mucks in charge of those dominant enterprises is either Hitlerian or Stalin-esque. No, they just want to live forever and rule the world. These two creatures are extremely unique, if not in world history, then at least in the context of the 20th century. But the fact that these latter-day tech masters would form a partnership on artificial intelligence to benefit the people in society is a pretty clear indication of the weight of the matters at hand. The division of Europe was a big deal, and so is the future of artificial intelligence. Of course, real legitimate concerns about computers, robotics, and AI is more prosaic. In the future, as David Rothman notes in a June 12, 2013 piece for MIT Technology Review, we'll see AI move into more and more sophisticated disciplines such as law, financial services, education, and medicine. We've already seen that. And in the introduction to their 2012 ebook, Race Against the Machine, Brynjolfsson and McAfee, both of MIT's Center for Digital Business, write, quote, when people talk about jobs in America today, they talk about cyclicity, outsourcing and offshoring, taxes and regulations, and the wisdom and efficacy of different kinds of stimulus. We don't doubt the importance of all these factors. The economy is a complex, multifaceted entity. But there has been relatively little talk about the role of acceleration of technology. And yes, that's that exponential acceleration. And it may seem paradoxical that faster progress can hurt wages and jobs for millions of people, but we argue that is what's happening. And as we'll show, computers are now doing many things that used to be the domain of people only, and the pace and the scale of this encroachment into human skills is relatively recent and has a profound impact on economics. And perhaps the most important of these is that while digital progress grows the overall economic pie, it does so while leaving some people, or even a lot of people, worse off. The authors conclude their work by describing the positive net impact it will have on humanity. Yeah, of course it will. But Amazon, Google, Facebook, IBM, and Microsoft, they're all making a lot of progress with AI. And robo-advisors have now entered the financial services industry. AI is going to be a key driver of growth of the Internet of Things due to its huge ability to process enormous amounts of data, yes, on every single one of us. And AI-based analytics will be a big growth market as they're selling our data to the machine, with applications including web searches, marketing, digital security, financial services et al., as well as telehealth. And they now have a UV germ zapping robot. We saw that last year. But of course, there is an incalculable business opportunity. And don't worry, because it's tough to make predictions, especially about the future. So this author is not going to say there'll never be a Skynet-driven rise of the machines. But we don't think that that's too much of a threat. No. Seems appropriate to mention HAL 9000, the AI that drives a compelling astronaut-computer conflict in the 2001 Space Odyssey. Wah, 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 wah. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. We have Lonnie Clark's show running up next with Drew Kuhn, who's going to be a new host here on UCY. Have an awesome Tuesday. Lots of live radio, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.